Cities, right. I mean, they just seem to be bursting at the seams these days. More people, more buildings, more traffic, and it feels like just trying to keep everything running smoothly is like, I don't know.
Like a giant puzzle.
Yeah, exactly. Where if you add one more piece, everything's going to be off balance.
Totally.
So what if you could actually visualize that whole puzzle, though?
Yeah.
Like all those moving parts in a way that helps us make cities work better, which is where this deep dive comes in.
Yes.
We were talking about smart cities and these things called digital twins, which I gotta admit, sounds kind of futuristic to me.
It does sound like something out of science fiction, right? But it's becoming more and more of a reality.
Okay.
A digital twin is basically a virtual model, a replica of a city. But here's what makes it so cool.
What's that?
It's powered by real-time data. So think sensors all over the city that are tracking everything,
Oh, okay.
from how traffic is flowing to energy use, even things like air quality.
So it's like having this live X-ray of the city that's constantly updating. I'm
Exactly.
already hooked, so tell me more about this.
Yeah.
The main source material we have for today is this research paper
Yeah.
called Architecting Smart City Digital Twins. And they really get into the nuts and bolts of how to build these things, and I found it fascinating.
Yeah, and it's interesting because they focus on this idea of a
Okay.
data ontology rule approach.
Data ontology rule. See, that just sounds way too complicated for
I
me.
know, it sounds very jargony, doesn't it? But it's actually simpler than it sounds.
Okay.
So think about it like this.
Okay.
You're building a house, right?
Right.
You've got all these bricks. The bricks are your data.
Okay. But you need a blueprint to tell you how those bricks go together.
Right.
That blueprint, that's your ontology. It's all about defining the relationships.
Okay, so then are the rules kind of like the building codes, to make sure that everything's structurally sound and safe?
Exactly. It's
Right.
like you can't just have a giant pile of data. You have to know how it all connects.
Okay,
And
yeah.
you have to set rules for how it behaves. And what I think is really cool is that this paper puts all three on equal footing.
So the data, the ontology, and the rules.
Exactly, because they're all equally important for a true smart city digital twin.
Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty.
Yes.
Let's see how this actually plays out in a real-world scenario.
Yeah.
So the researchers took some data from Chicago to
Yes.
test out their approach.
Specifically, they were looking at energy consumption in different types of buildings.
Very relevant.
And this is where it gets kind of interesting, right?
Yes, it does. Because what they found is that some things you'd think really matter, like how old a building is or how big it is, were actually really bad at predicting how much energy it used.
Wait, so you're telling me I can't just look at a building and be like, oh, that one's old. That one uses a lot of energy.
You'd think so, right? But no, there's actually a lot more to it.
Okay.
Because you've got to think about things like, well, what materials is it built with? How well is it insulated?
Oh, yeah.
Even things like what's going on in the neighborhood around it. It can all make a difference.
Huh. So it's a lot more nuanced than it might seem on the
It
surface.
really is.
It sounds like you'd need a ton of computing power to be able to make sense of all those different variables.
Oh, for sure. And that's where machine learning comes into play.
Okay.
They use this algorithm called a classification tree, which is kind of like imagine a detective
Okay.
using clues to categorize these buildings based on their energy profiles.
Gotcha.
And by using that with the data ontology rule framework, they could start to see some really interesting hidden patterns.
Okay, so give me an example. Like, what kind of patterns are we talking about? What did they find?
Well, for one thing, they could predict what kind of building it was. Like, was it a hospital, an office building, a university with like 80% accuracy,
80%.
80% just by looking at things like its location, how much energy it used, and yeah, even its age.
Wow. Okay, so even though a building's age alone wasn't a very good way to tell how much energy it used, it still gave you useful information when you combined it with these other things.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really important takeaway here. It's all about looking at the bigger picture and
Yeah.
using all of these different pieces of information to get a more complete understanding.
This is already making me totally rethink how much goes into something we just take for granted, like a city's energy use.
I know, right?
But I'm guessing this Chicago data was really just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, absolutely.
What other interesting stuff did they find?
It was definitely just the tip of the iceberg. You're right about that, because they actually found that the Chicago data had some limitations.
Oh, really? Like what?
It's kind of like if you're trying to put together a puzzle, but some of the pieces are, I don't know, mislabeled.
Yeah, exactly. Like they don't quite fit right.
So then how do you work around that?
Well, so they talked about how important it is to have even more data,
Oh.
of enricher data sets. So instead of just knowing, like, okay, how old is a building and how big is it, You'd want to, like, what materials is it made out of? How was it built? Is it well insulated? Even things like
Okay.
how many people are in the building at a given time?
Right.
What are they doing? How are they using the energy?
So it's about understanding not just the physical stuff, but how people are actually living and working in those spaces.
Yes, exactly. And that's just energy, right? We're just scratching the surface here.
Right.
Because when you start thinking about a digital twin that includes things like traffic patterns, air quality, noise pollution, I mean, it gets really, really complicated. Yeah, my brain's kind of exploding a little bit thinking about all that.
I know, right? That's a lot.
But also really cool.
It is really cool. And that's where the potential is so huge because imagine if we could actually capture all of that complexity
Right.
and use it to make better decisions about how we design and manage cities.
Okay, so but going back to the paper for a second,
Yes.
didn't they also uncover some pretty interesting insights, even with just this limited data that they had from
They
Chicago?
did, yeah. So remember that classification tree algorithm we talked about before?
Yeah, the detective one.
Yes, exactly. So they used that to look for connections within the data
Okay.
to see if there were any features that seemed to be especially related to energy consumption.
And what'd they find? What were the big aha moments?
Well, one of the things they found was that they could classify the buildings with 80% accuracy.
There's that 80%
I
again.
know, right? So 80% accuracy into categories like, was this a hospital or an office building or a university?
Okay.
Just by looking at things like their location, their energy use index, and yep, you guessed it, their age.
Age makes a comeback.
Age always makes a comeback. And they also found that a building's age and floor area, those two things together were really important for figuring out the different types of buildings within a certain community area.
So again, even though those factors by themselves weren't super reliable, when you put them all together, you can start to see these patterns emerge.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of this whole data-driven approach is that it allows you to analyze things in a way that traditional methods just can't.
It really does make you wonder, what would be possible if we could feed even more data, even richer, more nuanced data into these models?
Right, like what kind of insights could we gain? Because we're really talking about taking our understanding of how cities work to a whole other level.
It's pretty mind-blowing when you think about the possibilities,
Yeah.
but it makes you wonder, you know,
Yeah, that
there's a
Vince.
flip side to all this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's great to talk about all the cool things this technology can do,
Right.
but it's also important to think about, well, what are the potential downsides?
Totally, because having access to that much data about a city and everyone living in it, I don't know, it feels like it could be kind of a double-edged sword.
It definitely is, and it's something that we need to be really careful about. Because it's one thing to say, okay, we can optimize traffic flow, but what about things like privacy?
Right.
You know, if a digital twin is tracking people's movements, we need to make sure that data is being used responsibly.
Totally. We don't want this turning into some kind of big brother situation.
Exactly.
Has to be used ethically. It has to be transparent.
Absolutely. Those are really important considerations, and it's a conversation that needs to be happening alongside the development of the technology.
Yeah, for sure.
We can't just wait until it's too late. We need to be proactive about
This is
this.
about building those safeguards in right for the beginning.
Exactly.
Because the potential benefits are huge, but not if it comes at the cost of, you know, people's right to privacy or autonomy.
I completely agree. It's all about finding that balance
Yeah.
between, you know, innovation and responsibility.
Right. And I think that's something that comes up again and again with technology,
Totally.
figuring out how to harness these powerful new tools
Right.
without, you know, creating unintended consequences.
Okay, so to kind of bring it all back,
Yes.
we've been talking about smart cities, we've been talking about digital twins,
Yeah.
all this amazing technology that can help us understand and manage these complex urban environments,
Yeah.
but also the ethical considerations that come along with that.
For sure.
So as we wrap up, what are some of the key takeaways you hope that our listeners will, you know, kind of walk away with today?
Well, first and foremost, I hope people come away from this with a better appreciation for just how complex cities really are.
Right.
You know, it's easy to kind of take for granted all of the different systems that have to work together just to keep the lights on, literally.
Exactly. But when you start to look at a city through the lens of a digital twin,
Right.
you really start to see all of those
Feel like
interconnections.
you can see the city breathing for the first time.
Yes, exactly. And then secondly,
Okay.
I hope people come away with a sense of excitement about the potential of these data-driven approaches to actually solve some of the biggest challenges that cities are
So
facing.
not just understanding the problems, but actually being able to do something about them.
Exactly. And we're talking about creating cities that are more efficient, that are more sustainable, that are more livable for everyone.
Right. Cities that work for the people who live there.
Exactly.
Not just, you know, a select few.
Exactly. But then lastly, and I would say maybe even most importantly, I hope that people come away from this with a sense of, you know, technology is a tool.
Okay.
It can be used for good or can be used in ways that are not so good.
Right. So it's up to us to decide.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to have these conversations about ethics and responsibility.
Yeah. Make sure we're using these tools wisely.
Exactly.
Well said. Well said. Well, on that note, I think we'll wrap up this deep dive.
Sounds good.
Into the world of smart cities and digital twins. Thanks for joining us today, everyone.
Thanks for having me.
And be sure to check back for more fascinating explorations into the world of technology and its impact on all of our lives.